Hey everyone, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Writers at RVFTA.com.
And the authors of The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations.
About 10 years ago, we had a couple of babies and a marriage that was on the rocks.
So we bought an RV and we started camping. The rest, as they say, is history.
Join us as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We'll also keep you dialed in to the latest RV innovations from people in the know.
So pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. I hope all of you are ready to head into the future. Stephanie, are you ready to head into the future?
I'm a little scared, but I'll go anyway.
You'll go with me.
I'll go. Lead on.
If all of you out there in listener land come along with us today, we promise to bring you back home safely. So we're going to take you into the year 2030 so we can take a look around at the campgrounds of the future. And our special guest today is Toby O'Rourke. She is the president and CEO of Campgrounds of America, one of the most recognizable and iconic brands in the outdoor space. And we also think she has the most powerful crystal ball in the entire camping industry. So she's also a repeat guest on the show. We're thrilled to have her back. But before we dive into this conversation, we need to thank our sponsors, Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's and Jayco.
A big thanks to Bass Pro and Cabela's. They have everything that your family needs to get into the great outdoors. Go to basspro.com and cabelas.com to outfit yourself for your next great adventure. And also a big thanks to Jayco. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com to see a complete lineup of products. Jayco, generations of family fun. Welcome to the show, Toby.
Thank you. It's so nice to be on here again. Appreciate you guys inviting me.
Well, we loved checking out this exhibit at RVX about the campground of the future, so we were hoping to talk to you a bit about it today. So let's just dive right in. Now, do you think it's fair to say that the campers of the future are going to be more kind of demanding and have higher expectations of their outdoor experience? And if that's the case, is that a challenge? Is that a positive? Will that drive innovation, or will it drive your campground owners crazy?
Well, I don't necessarily know if campers will have any higher expectations than they do now. I think that, you know, the premise of what we developed Campground of the Future was about how technology is going to advance and things that'll become very commonplace in other parts of your lives, how that will come to be expected in your camping experience. You know, there's all sorts of changes happening in retail and delivery, just as two examples. And if you're used to those outside in your non-camping life, why wouldn't you come to expect those in your camping life? You know, I think things will continue to evolve over the next 10 years. So I don't think it's necessarily that they're more demanding. It's just that expectations will continue to rise as technology evolves. Is that good or bad? I think it's always good when we, as, you know, campground professionals are looking to see what a camper wants and how we can best deliver upon, you know, those needs and desires. So I think it's good to keep us evolving and keep us moving forward.
And so, in advance, right? Not necessarily trying to catch up with expectations after the fact.
Yeah, you know, we're an old system. We've been around almost 60 years. We've been having a major push to modernize some of our older campgrounds. And it's now I want to shift us to being future ready, you know, being proactive. And instead of doing that, let's bring it up to the campground of today. Let's get ready for the campground of tomorrow.
All right. So then talk to us about this geofencing technology. How does this look like it's impacting site selection and the check-in process?
I do think geofencing, you know, that's being used a lot right now in the retail space. We use geofencing in online advertising as well. And I think that there's a lot of nice extensions to the physical campground space. The ideas we built out in our model have to do with, you know, connecting your device, whether that's a phone or maybe your watch or some other wearable, or the RV technology itself to the campground. So as you pull into a campground, for example, that device or system already detects that you're there, checks you in automatically, and I'd love then to see some way we automatically can direct you to your site. So you don't ever have to get out of your RV, you know, line up and wait to check in. You're automatically checked in and you're automatically directed to your site. And I think that that's a really powerful idea that we could start to explore now. We don't have to wait to 2030 for that.
Could each camper or each family have theme music start playing as they pull into
your own kind of soundtrack, family soundtrack, I like that.
To announce that you're there?
Absolutely. Customize the experience. That's right.
Yeah, and I think that, like, you know, when the typical family going to Disney has seen this sort of attempt at marrying your device to the experience. Like, and over the past 3 years, even with that Disney experience, you've seen it evolve to kind of being this clunky app that, you know, you had to kind of delete and reload on your phone, to now it's almost this seamless experience where it's telling you when your next, you know, appointment is and how far you are away to this thing that you have to get to next. So I think that's what I go to in my mind is having the closest experience to that so far.
Now, I also wonder, though, what about our yellow shirts? Because we do love to see them when we pull in. So will this change that customer service experience?
No, you know, I that's a question I get quite a bit. And I think that if we use technology as an enabler to provide conveniences, that allows our staff to focus on other things. So I don't think in any form or fashion does automated technology replace the need for staff. Because, I mean, especially at KOA, that's a cornerstone of our brand. You're just going to see our staff being accessible to you in lots of different ways. So I think it just continues to improve our guest experience overall.
Okay, great. So in your vision for the campground of the future, and KOA's vision for the campground of the future, it has a lot to do with the blurring of lines between the indoor and outdoor experience. Can you give us some practical examples of what you guys mean by that?
Right. I think that the best way to think about that would probably be in our cabin products. I love the idea of keeping people very close to nature. And so the cabins you'll see in campground of the future, we played around with this idea of opaque walls, where you can, you know, look out at the beautiful view, you're part of nature, and maybe those walls go dark at night or when you want more privacy. We also played with that idea of opaque walls in some of our registration buildings. So you'll see it more naturally blend into the landscape versus just being, you know, this major building just sitting, you know, on the campground. We can see ways we can just more naturally evolve into the landscape.
Well, the interesting thing is you can almost look to the past for examples of some of that too. Like recently we were at, we stayed in the lodge at Shenandoah National Park. And, you know, the lodge, the entire back wall is just glass looking out into this beautiful, and we arrived at sunset and the sun was coming, the sunset you could see through all of the windows of the lodge to the place where you were pulling up to check in. And I was like, you know, this lodge was built decades ago and they just nailed it with that indoor outdoor experience. And then I also think of what we were looking for in our RV when we went with a toy hauler. One of the big selling points for us was that back door that goes down so that we could feel like we were really in our camp space and not just like crunched into an RV.
I love that. That's beautiful. I do think the national parks, you know, Teton comes to mind too, has done it really well when you, in Yellowstone near where I live, when you can see those beautiful vistas, this beautiful use of windows, you know, and like you're seeing with the RV, another thing we did, and actually Cavco had developed a model for the RVX show based off the concepts we had developed for Campground of the Future. We wanted to think about even retractable roofs that allow you to look, you know, connect to the stars, which we know is such an important part of camping. And in their model, they didn't build a retractable roof, but they built almost like a skylight, if you will, so that those kids in the lofts could look directly up into the stars. And I just thought it was really, really cool. So anyway, we can connect people that are inside to the outside, I think we win.
And it's also just asking campground owners to take advantage of assets that they have already. I mean, I can think of times we've been in cabins at a campground, and there was like something gorgeous behind us, like a river or just the forest in the woods, and there's just like a little tiny window looking out on it. You know, it's not part of the experience at all. So I think a lot of your campgrounds, you know, they have the views, they have the nature right outside the door, but it's just connecting the camper to that experience more.
Yeah, and I think another powerful thing we explored in the models has to do with getting people off the ground. And I love the idea of, even if in the RV side of things, maybe you've got, you know, your RV site, but then you have, you know, we call them sky decks that allow you to go up above the RV, and that's where your patio is, patio experience, that gets you closer to the trees, closer to the sky. You can see a view really nicely from the air. And so you'll see a lot of things in our models, and we're even starting to do them on our campgrounds ourselves, in getting people up off the ground. That could be rooftop decks on cabins, that can be tree houses in the air, that can be these sky deck suites for RV sites. It's another way of connecting people to nature.
All right, so my first thought on that is that's amazing, because it's what my home, I have that reverse living thing, and I love the fact that I can look out at home into the trees, right, instead of just into a yard. It's one of my favorite things. But then I'm thinking, well, you guys are thinking a lot about solar as, you know, part of, you know, of our energy use in the future at campgrounds. And I'm thinking about those solar panels on top of my RV. So what are you guys going to do to kind of help people still, you know, like access solar energy?
Yeah, I think solar is going to continue to grow in importance. I have been seeing a lot of people putting solar panels in their RV. When we were doing a research, we're seeing solar pedestals emerge. I think you might start to see those in the campground of the future. We played around with, you know, drawing inspiration from what's happening on college campuses. There's, you know, little desks or study areas on outdoor space that are powered by solar so that you can plug into those. And so I think, you know, I could see applying that to a more of a rustic tent site, for example. At one of our campgrounds in Arizona at the Tucson KOA, we have large solar arrays that cover, you know, several rows of RV sites. It provides power for the campground, which is the benefit, you know, from an energy standpoint, but also provides nice dappled shade for the RVs below. They're very, very popular sites, especially in that Tucson heat. But, you know, I think the point is you're going to see much smaller applications of solar as well as larger installations as we go forward.
So it's going to be big things like solar. That, I mean, we're seeing them now and we're going to see them more in the future. But it's also going to be maybe little things like ordering your firewood. How could technology impact something as simple as getting some firewood for the night?
We looked at, you know, what's happening now with, for example, Alexa, right? Everyone has an Alexa technology connected to the Amazon platform in their house, or a lot of people do. And so we started to play with the idea of interactive kiosks at the site. And maybe that's an interactive pedestal, or maybe the technology for that interaction actually occurs within the RV. But a way for you to connect right at your site to the camp host. And, you know, maybe you need help. Maybe, you know, you're having an issue, you have a question, or maybe you want to order something. So I think that anyway, you know, again, that's providing a convenience to the camper. They don't have to leave their site. They can connect in and order what they might want or seek out any help just through easy technology at the site.
Can we get a yellow shirt to come if the kids are misbehaving? Or does KOA's customer service stop at a certain point?
You're going to have to create boundaries for us, Toby.
We might have to. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we're going to come back in 1 second and talk a little bit more about the campground of the future with Toby O'Rourke, the president and CEO of KOA. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's.
All right, so everybody knows we love our Cabela's Polar Cap Equalizer coolers. And to be quite honest, I think that you're still going to be seeing those same coolers in 2030, right? When we're camping.
90 days of ice retention.
I mean, they just are going to hold up that long. I'm absolutely sure of it. So like we use these even when we're just car camping. Like when we recently went to Shenandoah National Park, it kept our drinks cold all weekend long. Love having those drinks stocked up for after our hikes and everything. But there's actually another Polar Cap product that we have fallen in love with, the tumblers, the Polar Cap tumblers. They come in 20 ounce or 30 ounce. They come in black or a light khaki, and they're good for hot or cold beverages. Like this morning, I had my iced coffee in it because it's like 90,000 degrees here where we are in New Jersey. Priced at $14.99 or $19.99, these are basically the working man's version of a more expensive brand of insulated bachelor tumblers out there. No names mentioned. We've been using them for about a year now, and we have them in the RV. We have them in the house. We love them. And we'll link to the ones that we have in the show notes. And you can, of course, always check out all of the products at BassPro.com or Cabela's.com.
Okay, everybody, we're back here with Toby O'Rourke. She's the president and CEO of KOA, and we're talking about the campground of the future, KOA's vision for campgrounds in the year 2030. So let's dive right back into our conversation. So, Toby, we're seeing more and more communal spaces already. Do you think that trend will continue into the future? And what will some of those communal spaces look like at the KOAs of the future?
I absolutely think it will continue. We see in our research we do that people continue to camp with groups of friends and bring families together. They like to camp. You know, the average size of a camping trip is 8 to 10 people. And so I think you're going to see that continue. That could look in forms of sites, playing with group sites. Maybe it's tents, RVs, cabin sites co-located together with maybe group fire experience. Or, you know, similarly, like we were talking about those elevated sites earlier, one of our models has a group RV site that are connected by a sky deck that goes across all three, so those people can enjoy that communal space. You're also, so I believe, going to see the need for just more general open space for people to socialize, whether that's playing games together, like recreation games. We have pocket parks across our system we're starting to put in, or you need to have pavilions that they can host, you know, meals together. And, you know, I don't think it's too, you know, different than what we do now. I just think it's going to continue to grow in importance.
So I know you guys are big on statistics there and doing research and crunching numbers. Are you seeing more multi-generational camping trips currently than you have in the past at KOA?
Oh, I think it's growing a little bit, yes. I think that that's particularly growing within certain demographics. For example, among Hispanics, we know that number is very, very high. There's a lot of more multi-generation camping happening within the Hispanic demographic than others, but it's very popular across everybody. Everyone is camping, you know, bring grandma and grandpa coming, kids are coming. I know when I go camping, my sister and her family are already there. My parents are always showing up. You know, it's not just us going out and camping. It's very rare. It's just the four of us.
And I think that's something that I've been seeing in some of the newer campgrounds we've seen that they've been investing a lot of money in is they've kind of combined the spaces. And I really love that. Like, instead of the traditional, like a whole area of cabins and a whole area of tents and a whole area of campsites, you really have them mixed and mingled in with each other, which I think gives a nod to how groups camp together, right? There might be someone with an RV, someone with a tent, and someone with a cabin. And it's so awesome when you can be near each other at a campground.
Yeah, we have some campgrounds that are really experimenting with that, and they're so popular. For example, the West Glacier KOA near Glacier National Park, a couple years ago, he started putting tent sites on RV sites, and those are always the first ones rented. They're very, very popular. It allows them to put a tent up if the kids want to sleep in a tent or if they're bringing another family along. And now he's got those type of sites near deluxe cabins. And, you know, everybody wants to go camping, but not everybody owns an RV. So it's a great way to just allow people to mix together and not have to be spread out across the campground from each other.
I have to just stop for a minute and say that I'm incredibly excited that we're going to be at the West Glacier KOA at the end of August.
We are. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, it's so beautiful. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, it is. We are barely containing our excitement, and we won't be for the next month. We're just giddy. We're giddy about it.
We were ready.
The East Glacier one is equally as nice.
Oh, we're going to be there too, Toby. Don't you worry.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. You'll be in my area of the country.
This trip was planned about 10 years ago before we had twin boys, and we had like a minor 10-year delay.
But here we are, back to square one.
It's going to happen. Okay, so I'm going to generalize for a second. I mean, Stephanie grew up camping with her dad, and when we were dating, I used to, you know, go camping with them. And for like Stephanie's father, and I think for some old school campers, like the whole concept of camping was to like get away from people and to find solitude in nature. And like your dad, I think, would be kind of freaked out by sort of the campground of the future.
People everywhere.
Why are there communal spaces here? You know, I'm just wondering if you guys have some insight into what's going on societally that maybe making people want to spend more time together when they're camping and not escape and be alone in nature.
Yeah, you know, I think it's still good. There's a balance. I mean, what you're looking at here are KOAs of the future. KOAs are by nature very communal. You know, people that camp at KOAs know they're going to be around a lot of people, and we have common social space, we have activities, and that's part of the KOA experience. And that's not for everybody, and I embrace that. There's a lot of people that want to camp in more remote locations, and they want to be, you know, and I do. There's times when I'm like that we're just want to be out, not near anybody, you know, in the woods. And so I think that's going to continue to be just as important to people. And I think, you know, this was exploring campgrounds of the future. I think that the power of what comes next is RVs of the future, because I think RVs will continue to, you know, the batteries are going to continue to increase. The use of solar will continue to increase. There's going to be all sorts of innovations within the RV that are going to allow people to be off-grid camping in even bigger and better ways than they do now. So I think it's a blend. I think that, to your question, what's happening now, we know the millennial generation is very social. We know that they like to camp in groups. We know they want to be active when they camp. I think there's something for everyone that wants to get out there. I think things are going to evolve in lots of different ways.
Well, speaking of the RV industry, KOA had a great display at RVX this past March out in Salt Lake City, Utah, and you were demonstrating that virtual reality, you know, campground of the future, and you had it broken up into different regions. When you put those VR, goggles, right, on, yeah, you could choose what kind of region you were going to camp in, either forest, mountain, an urban area, desert, coastal. So, like, did you see some commonalities? Did you have some major differences between those regions and what they're going to look like in the future?
Well, the way we approached the project is we stepped back and we just utilized, thought leadership across all aspects of our business, whether that be facilities development, you know, or marketing, recreation, including input from our franchisees that are pretty progressive in the space. And we came up with a bunch of ideas. And then when we went to build it, we used an architecture and design firm to take those ideas and explore them across five different landscapes. So it's not that what you see in our desert landscape, for example, would never be in the mountain landscape. We just wanted to give, you know, the viewer an experience to want to go through all five models and explore different things. So, you know, when we're really talking about pets, for example, you're going to see a lot of the pet concepts in the desert one. That doesn't mean it wouldn't be in any others. So we just had a lot of fun in injecting different ideas into different models just to provide a way for people to explore. And, you know, anyone could get online right now and look at those. You don't have to have VR goggles. It's at campthefuture.com. And you can go in on your computer and navigate through all the models and see.
We'll put that in the show notes for sure. So if anyone's driving right now, they can go back and check that out later. But there were some really fun ideas in there, which, like, immediately you might go, oh, that's crazy. But then if you stop and think about it, it's not that crazy. So I loved, like, in the coastal region, there was kind of the idea of camping above water and maybe even having cabins below water. Could you give us a little more detail on that vision for the campground of the future?
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with the ocean or the coastal environment. And you're right. I think at first glance, you think that, oh, this is so far-fetched. But really, I think everything built in the models are very, very realistic. The idea of that on the coastal model, we have a causeway that went above the water and allows people to camp right on the water. You know, that's no different than docks, right? Docks of today that go out over the water. And I think that idea of being able to camp right next to nature, we obviously had panels up, you know, so you can't fall into the water. But I think that's really interesting to a lot of people. And then below the water, we played with the idea of underwater cabins, because underwater hotels already exist, underwater restaurants exist. So I don't think it's so far-fetched to think about you could actually camp, essentially, stay, whether that's in a lake or in the ocean, and really be, again, getting back to the idea of close to nature. You can't get any closer to nature than looking right out the window into the ocean.
Yeah, Toby, one of a recent comment in our Facebook group, in our private Facebook group, I think really pointed to something that we've noticed over the 10 years of becoming RV owners. And that's that, you know, it used to be an RV was very connected with the idea of camping, right? Like, you have an RV so that you can go camping. I think that's evolved a little bit. And a lot of RVers just look at their RV as a hotel on wheels, right? Like, I get to travel, and they might not look at themselves as campers. They look at themselves as travelers who prefer to travel with their own bed and kitchen and bathroom and stay in campgrounds wherever they want to go. So, you know, for us, we love to camp at the beach, at cities, in resort areas. It's more about where we want to visit. Do you see more KOAs sort of evolving with that concept and kind of popping up and being, you know, placed in places that may not be traditionally thought of as camping environments?
Yeah, I think that's a really important insight that you raised. And we look at that as we talk about marketing here at KOA. Sometimes it's not camping, it's staying. You know, I stay at the KOA. It doesn't mean you camp at the KOA. You see that all the time when people are, like, at soccer tournaments, and they're bringing their RV with them because it's an affordable and preferable way for them to stay in that town while their kids are doing their soccer tournaments. To your question, there are KOAs in cities all over the country. You know, like I said, we're an old company that maybe at the time that KOA was built, it was out of town, and now the city has expanded and grown around it. A really good example of that is our KOA in San Diego. It is right in the urban area of Chula Vista. The city grew up around it, and it is an urban campground. We've got urban campgrounds everywhere. I was just actually in California at Moss Landing KOA, which is right, you know, on the water, and it's not necessarily a place you would think you're camping. You know, it's right at the docks there, but it's a very, very popular place that people go and park their RVs. So we've got, you know, we've got a campground that's 20 minutes from the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. So I think that will continue. I think as we have a lot of options for people in pretty much any urban environment, camping doesn't mean getting outside of the city. For KOA in particular, a lot of times you're right in the city or nearby.
We made it to the Liberty Bell from the Philadelphia KOA in 15 minutes.
Under 20 minutes. You're spot on with that.
There we go.
All right. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to come back and finish our conversation with Toby O'Rourke, the president and CEO of KOA. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
Well, I mentioned our toy hauler in this episode. So let's talk Jayco toy haulers, right? Whether you're ready for an adventure, you just need some extra storage space, or like I said, a really pretty view outside the back of your RV. Jayco's new 2019 Talon Platinum toy hauler has something for everyone. This feature pack toy hauler offers farmhouse white hardwood cabinetry, which people are really excited to start seeing inside of these toy haulers that used to be thought of mostly as man caves, right? J-Smart lighting, stainless steel appliances, and an all-around residential feel. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
All right, Toby. So I think in the past, we've talked to you about how you wanted to buy an RV, and that may have seemed like lip service in the past, but you did. You went ahead and you got an RV. So you're living the life that your customers are living, which we think is fantastic. Have you had a chance to get out and do some camping this spring and summer?
Yeah, we have actually. We bought the RV end of April. We've been out three different weekends with it, and we're actually leaving in the morning for a trip to Colorado. We'll be gone for 8 days going to different campgrounds in Colorado. So, yeah, we have been using it. We've always camped. We were more, using our cabin products and staying in deluxe cabins or camping cabins. But we love our RV. Kids love it. It's been really great addition to our family. We're really excited for our trip coming up tomorrow.
Well, Toby, it's so nice to see a lot of these things that you've been really pushing for campgrounds to look to the future and to not just wait to catch up, right, with what people want. And as just current RVers, right, we didn't grow up RVing. We don't have this notion of what RVing should look like and what camping should look like. Like Jeremy and I, we want our RVing life to really suit us, right? And if that means we need to stay in a cabin when we're traveling or sometimes bring our RV or have those wonderful tent camping experiences, we really appreciate how you've been pushing the campground industry to really meet those demands of that modern, you know, RVer and camper. And we've seen that at the campgrounds.
I really love how you guys are sort of reinventing the tent camping experience, which is a topic for another interview. Mm-hmm. But we've noticed that too at the campgrounds, at the tent camping sites are really getting nice too. So Toby, if our listeners want to go ahead and check out KOA and learn more about KOA or book a reservation, where should they go online and on social media?
Yeah, absolutely. KOA.com is the best place to get reservations, find all of our parks. We have a mobile app, just search for KOA. And then obviously, you know, we have a really beautiful Instagram account and Facebook presence. We're also on Twitter. Just search for KOA and you're going to find us.
All right, Toby. Well, we are happy to say that we will see you at the campground.
Thanks for coming again. We'll see you at the campground.
Thanks, guys. See you soon.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas. And a big thanks to the sponsors of this show, Jayco, Bass Pro Cabela's, Thetford, Go Power, and Go RVing. We appreciate their support in creating educational and inspirational RV content.
You can also find links to everything mentioned in this episode over at rvfta.com, plus hundreds of blog posts on everything from gear recommendations to our favorite camping recipes.
If you enjoy our show, please leave us a review wherever you listen, and make sure to get social with us on Facebook at The RV Atlas and on Instagram at Jeremy and Stephanie. Plus, we've got the friendliest campers around in our private Facebook Facebook group, so check it out.
Until next time, I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Stephanie.
And we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.